study hour here. And so instead of doing Jeremiah chapter 6 or 7, we're going to just do this week because I feel it's an important topic. So the topic of our prophecy update will be dehumanizing and anti-biblical mask mandates. You know, this past week, my wife and I were shopping at Menards, and suddenly the store manager came over and started giving us a hard time, then started berating us. And then this did I say we were not wearing masks? Okay, we were not wearing masks. And suddenly this lady comes up and starts yelling cuss words at us, calling us names, and staring us down. And it was just, it was a scene that I just couldn't believe it. I thought to myself, is this really America? I mean, really? People are getting irate about somebody not wearing a mask? And it caused me to really take a deeper, I guess you'd call it theological look at mask wearing and what the Bible has to say about it, whether it is something we should just go along with or whether we shouldn't. And I did a lot of research on the internet trying to find information about this to see if other people had done studies on this. And it was very hard to find anybody who had done really much of anything on this topic. And I think what we're going to uncover here today will surprise many of you when we look at it from a biblical perspective. All right, so, there are a number of states, I can't remember, it's over half of the states now have mandatory mask mandates. We know when you go in and you do the research, one of the big biblical arguments is that forced mask wearing forced mask wearing is not only based on lies as far as its effectiveness and so forth, it dishonors the image of God and prohibits followers of Christ from ministering the light of love unto the world. And so we're going to kind of go into some scriptures and document why that is so. And I'll say one more thing about this. A lot of Christians think that, it's just a mask. This is a neutral issue. It's not a salvation issue. It's not really a biblical issue. Romans chapter 13 says we should follow the government, obey the government. In fact, there was this one talk show host. He's kind of a famous Bible talk show host. He's not really a Bible teacher, but he comments on biblical stuff a lot. He cited Romans 13, like I just mentioned, and said that basically made the point that we should submit to wearing a mask because by doing so, we are actually submitting to God. We are actually submitting to God. And his point was, if you obey the government, governments are ordained of God, Romans chapter 13, obey the government, and therefore you are obeying God. But I'm going to go in some scriptures here and show why I don't believe that's a valid argument. I would actually rather argue that submitting to forced mask mandates is kind of like I mentioned earlier, submitting to a lie. Not only when you're wearing that mask, you're not only submitting to the lie that, okay, this is for everybody's health, when you know that cloth masks do not filter out viruses, if you do the research on it, they catch bacteria and can actually make you even sicker. They masks cut oxygen flow and actually weaken your immune system. So if I didn't know any better, I would think that somebody's forcing me to wear a mask because they want me to get sick, okay? And moreover, if you have any amount of discernment or wisdom based off of the Bible and you're putting together all of the different things that are going on at the same time, you realize that mask mandates are all about government control and power. And it's not just the United States. We're talking about this stuff is going on virtually worldwide without any real credible science to say that it actually is effective. And what's alarming about it, when I see, that people obey something without even thinking it through and without even using common sense, what's even more alarming is the leftists, they love to wear masks to the point where it's like a religious devotion to them. And when you don't wear a mask, to them, you're violating their religious beliefs. I'm holy for wearing the mask. I'm righteous because I'm saving everybody, even though I believe in abortion and I vote for abortion, which is hypocrisy at its at its height. So they look at you like you're violating the religious protocols. So you are now an outcast. So this, my point is, this is becoming religious. It's called the religion of the state. Ultimately, we know it's the religion of the beast of Revelation chapter 13. So we as people of the truth ought to be proclaiming the truth. We don't go along with lies, okay? Just because it's comfortable, it's easy. Well, I'm just going to love my neighbor and just get along, even though this is nonsense and so forth. So I'm also going to point out, you know, another argument people will say is, well, we need to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Let's read it. Mark chapter 12, verse 17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's, and they marveled at him, okay? Now, Caesar, or the government, can tax you, right? They can pass a lot of different kinds of laws. But when those laws violate or prohibit you from worshiping God or prohibit you from spreading the message of, from spreading the gospel or any other form of ministry, if the government prohibits you from ministering the love of Christ to other people, then we do not obey that edict. Why? Because that's not Caesar's. Caesar has no right to get into to encroach upon the territory that belongs to God. Okay, God's given rulers and so forth a power to do certain things. Putting a muzzle over your face, excuse me, to cover the image that you were created in, the image of God, is about one of the most I believe. It's leading towards one of the most anti-biblical things that has ever been done in history, you know, on a worldwide scale. And I think it's leading to something even more extreme than this. Anyways, so that argument, obey the government because the Bible says, and if you obey the government, you're obeying God. Well, if you're obeying the government and you're violating God's commandments, you are not obeying God. You are not obeying God. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What does it mean to overcome? You don't do what everybody else is doing all the time. Because if you do what everybody else is doing all the time, you're no different than anybody else, and therefore you're not overcoming. You're submitting. You're submitting to ungodly authority. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving... Now check this out. This is very important. That's what the masks are all about, spreading fear. And fear, division, hatred, misery. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, when you look at these Hollywood elites and these governors, when they're behind closed doors, they're at parties, not wearing masks, what does that tell you? They don't actually believe that the masks are actually benefiting anybody's health. Okay? It's all about this global reset that they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy the old order and replace it with a new order and get you in the mindset that you must submit to the government for everybody else's good. This is part of the global collective, okay? The global collective. So when I feel like when I wear a mask, I am promoting that lie. Have I worn a mask? Yes, I have. Now am I getting to the point where I'm feeling like, hey, they're not going to ever let this go. They're going to just keep adding more and more things. So I already know it's prohibiting people from smiling in the supermarket to people. And that's a ministry of Christians. I'll get into that in a little bit. When you cover your face, you're covering the image of God reflecting through you that other people can't see. But I'm getting to the point now, and especially after that experience in Menards, where I feel convicted that God's convicting me that, hey, this isn't just a neutral subject. This isn't just, I'll just do this and it'll all go away. I tell you what, we're not going back to normal. Even I was listening to the Minnesota Health Department putting ads on Pandora. They're telling you we're not ever going back to normal, but we're going to come out into something even better. As we collectively, they use that communist term. Now, when I say communism, socialism, and everything, they all blend into what? The beast of Revelation 13. It's worship of the state, worship of the government, ultimately headed up by the Antichrist, okay? So they're telling us, you better not expect to be back to normal. You're not going to go back to the way things were. You're going to go into something new. And they're blatantly telling us that and using communist language. So anyways, if I'm wearing a mask and in my conscience, I know why they're making us wear it, because they don't believe it. I know it's a lie. I know it's based off of a lie. Then when I wear it, I'm actually promoting that lie. I'm adhering to it. And it's disturbing me more and more now as I delve into this. Revelation 22, verse 15 says, "For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers outside of the kingdom of God, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Okay? This really defines your leftists today. They love lies. They love believing lies. I mean, they're the first ones, again, like they're the first ones to run out and wear their masks. I mean, this is great to them. They think this is wonderful. This is maybe not a good biblical statement, but, if I was many of those leftists, by the way some of them look, I'd probably want to cover my face too. anyways, all right, I'll get back to Bible here. So again, paying taxes is fine. We do that, like Christ said. Getting along with the government, you don't just become a lawless lawbreaker because you want to resist. But when it comes to when the government tries to put a wedge between you and God or you and your ministry to other people, then it's too far, and disobedience, I believe, is required. Civil disobedience. All right. So, our faith belongs to God and His ministry, not to Caesar. That's really my main point. And with that said, let's go back to the beginning in Revelation chapter 1. And when you read the book of Genesis, you find out that the prime root of everything we read about in the Bible stems from the great book of Genesis. Every truth has its foundation in the book of Genesis in one way or the other. And one of the most significant truths about ourselves is written in this book of Genesis. Think about this. Genesis 1 verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Okay? So we're made in the image of God. You know, our face actually is, the most basic identifier on a physical level. I'm not talking spiritually now. Our face is, on the most basic level, our face identifies us as the children of God. We look like our Heavenly Father, okay? So when we're covering our face, that's why I say I believe we're dishonoring God. When we're covering our face nonstop. I'm not talking about, I was out in the wood, out in the shed there doing some work, insulating and finishing the shed. So I have a little workshop to work on things. And I was wearing a mask out there because I had all this, wood chips flying in the air. That wasn't dishonoring God, wearing a mask. And I'm not saying wearing a mask at times, like if you're a surgeon and so forth, wearing a mask there and you're trying to not get your bacteria into the open wounds of the patient. That's different. There are times to wear a mask. But what I'm talking about is a forced mask mandate and what its purpose is. Its purpose is to bring about misery, to control the people, and to hide the image of God. What do I mean by hide the image of God? Again, when you think about all of the basically the seat of our emotions can be seen in our face, right? We still have our eyes. That's one thing. Now they're going to, I've heard they want to make us wear goggles even and stuff. So you start hiding the eyes and we have really just become faceless robots. So what was the point? Where was I at now? Got off of the faceless robots. Oh, okay. So, you know, there are even secularists and non-Christians and people of all beliefs, they understand that a smile, someone who smiles, and being smiled at has a lot of psychological benefits. You know, it's like a beam of light. Really, when somebody smiles, it's like a beam of light. It shines over there, and then it shines over there and over there, and all of a sudden, one smile can totally change the atmosphere. But you got one gloomy face, you know, somebody is crabby and grumpy all the time, that spreads too. That's darkness. So what I'm saying is the light, our countenance and our smiles is a ministry, is a testimony to the truth. When people see Christians walking around, they should see somebody that looks happy, you know, somebody that's full of joy. And now when you go into the supermarket, everybody, I mean, it almost feels like I'm in a, you know, the Twilight Zone. Everybody's walking around faceless, can't see any emotions. We don't see any face. Everybody's just going in, just getting their stuff and getting out of there. People have no idea the harm that's causing to our society as a whole. That's spreading darkness. It's making us into faceless, non-individuals. We're just part of this collective. We're like a bunch of robots following the commands of some dictator. I mean, I'm telling you, this is something like what you'd see out of a sci-fi movie 20 years ago. The year 2020, nobody has personalities, nobody's an individual, we're all part of the collective, and everybody's wearing masks, and they're just doing it. And then somebody doesn't wear a mask, like my wife and I in the store, and you know, people start screaming at you and flipping out. It's like, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? I can tell you what's wrong. The world is becoming infested with demonic activity. And the demons are just, I mean, think about it. Christians like to not wear a mask because it reveals who we are. We want people to see who we are. We're not trying to hide who we are, right? But now that mask mandates are required, it's giving cover and concealment to people who want to hide their face because they want to hide their evil deeds. Think about Antifa. They're out there wearing masks before masks became a mask mandate. Think about all the riots and the cities burning. Those people were all wearing masks. You think if this was a rebellious thing, if Pastor Ben's just teaching rebellion, go against the government in some devious way because I just don't like to, I'm stubborn, then why are the evil people gladly wearing masks, okay? Evil people usually gladly disobey the government, okay? They commit crimes, they steal, they rob, they murder, and so forth, okay? This is not just Pastor Ben trying to exercise his First Amendment right, though that's a legitimate right. This is and it's also a civil right. When I go into Menards and they tell me I have to wear a mask, otherwise I can't buy any products there, they're discriminating against my religious beliefs because I believe they're covering the image of God that I'm supposed to be reflecting. And now they're preventing me. They say, if you don't cover that face, you can. So it's definitely a civil rights issue. Okay. And those are all legitimate things. But as a Christian, first and foremost, it is a biblical issue to me. It is a biblical right. Caesar cannot lawfully tell me to cover my face and submit. Anyways, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created he them. Okay. I will say this, you know, when you realize the people that always want to build something new, they tear down what's there before they can build something new, right? Same thing with governments. They want to tear down the old government so they can put a new government in place, a new government. Well, when you cover the image of God that you're made in, that leaves room to replace it with some other image, okay? To replace it with some other image. And I'm not saying necessarily literally, but we know in the book of Revelation that we eventually come to this image of the beast, okay? So when you erase God's image and then you replace it with that, and I'll go even a little bit further. Think about this. We are defiling the image of God in so many different ways. God created Adam and Eve. Just lost my connection there. God created Adam and Eve, and then male and female to be married. We defile the image with homosexual marriage. We defile God's image by gender confusion, saying you're not who God created you to be. If you're a girl and you say, I think I should be a boy, that's defiling the image that you were created in. All of these things, it's all happening at once. So if you think Pastor Ben is some Looney Tune, well, what's you're covering your face, the image of God? Are you nuts? Put it all together. Put it all together, and you'll see that this is orchestrated. It's on purpose. It's not anything to do with health. It's about submitting. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is, I'm going to tie Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, into the importance of us spreading the light of love unto the world. In this case, especially through the light of our countenance. I'll say this before I get into it. Moses, you remember when he was, things don't happen for accident. Remember when Moses was in the presence of God and he came out from the presence of God? His face shined. Okay? His face shined with light. There are numerous scriptures about God's face beaming with light. Jesus, when he was at on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face shone, his face shined with light. And some would say, Moses had to cover his face, and so there's a documentation for coverings, face coverings. Well, if you find out that, allegorically speaking, Moses covering his face was uncovered in the new under the new covenant. I'm not going to go into that detail. I just know there's some sticklers out there. Scripture lawyers that are probably watching online out there saying that. So they'll understand what I'm talking about. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Again, like I said in the beginning, we are people of the truth. When you see a lie, you stand up against it. You don't do like what that talk show host said and just submit to a lie and say Romans 13, okay? Well, he's taking Romans 13 out of context, okay? Satan told Jesus to jump off the top of the temple because it was written. But was it in context? It was not in context. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Hey, if it's not happening to you ever, if nobody's ever persecuting you or reviling you, like that lady calling us a bunch of, I'm not going to say the word, ASS hats, and then sat there and stared at me. I immediately just said, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm standing up for you. And then I tried to ignore her, and she just kept glaring at me. These people are nuts. So you're blessed when they do that. They're going to say all manner against you falsely. Well, Pastor Ben just doesn't want to submit. He doesn't love his neighbor. He's trying to kill people. He's trying to kill people by not wearing a mask. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And we're studying the book of Jeremiah right now. You know, Jeremiah, he didn't bring a message of peace and comfort. There were some passages that were, but it was one of impending doom and judgment because of the people's sins. People don't like to hear the truth. That's the point. They're persecuted for it. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, I'm just going to go along with it, not say anything. Romans 13. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. This is what Jesus says. If you're not any different than the world, if you don't ever look different or shake things up a little bit, Jesus says you're good for nothing. Well, that's not a very nice thing. Jesus never says nobody's good. Jesus never says that someone's good for nothing. My Jesus doesn't talk like that. What kind of a pastor are you saying that? What kind of a Bible student, what kind of a Christian are you, is what I might ask. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Okay, not only are they trying to cover us with face masks, put muzzles over our faces, make us faceless individuals, and they're also, at the same time, they are telling us we must social distance. Do you guys realize these things are the total opposite of Christianity? Face masks and social distancing? You can't minister to the sick if you're a Christian pastor or a Christian leader if you can't lay your hands on them and pray for them. Okay? You can't do a lot of ministering unto the world unless you can get close to somebody and maybe give them a hug, maybe smile at them, and all these types of things. If we hide that light, which they're trying to have us do, then what's left is darkness. And we're seeing it today. It's not an accident. You're the light of the world. We're supposed to be up on a hill, hiding nothing. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Okay? Again, this doesn't just have to do with somebody's face, but I'm relating it to the face. It's anything to do with spreading the truth. Truth is light. Lies are darkness. But the truth of the Holy Spirit that indwells in a Christian radiates outward through the face. And that's not the only way it radiates out through, but it definitely is one way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right. So in order to fulfill the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, we have to violate the social distancing and mask wearing, because you cannot totally fulfill your ministry as a Christian doing those things. In fact, they're even demanding that people come to church wearing face masks and no singing in churches. I mean, come on. How many more things do they have to do before we say that this is an evil, evil thing happening to our country and has devastating consequences? In fact, I was listening to a pastor talking about all of the damage that these shutdowns are doing to not only our businesses and our economy, but to our young kids. To our kids. You're not letting them be around other kids. They're not able to participate in athletics where, you know, they socially bond with other kids and things like that. It's causing people to separate, to isolate, and to be apart. And God did not create us to be like that, okay? Even if this was a real pandemic, which there were real pandemics in the past, guess who were the first ones to rush into a dangerous spot? Christians. They went to go help the sick. Did some of them get the plague and die? Yes. But is that what we live for? Do we live to protect our flesh at all costs? Do we want the cure to be more harmful than the disease? Think about that. That's what we're doing right now. Jesus at one time said, and I don't know if I include this in the verses here, but he said, what gain or what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Okay. What does it profit a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? In other words, there are times to make a stand for the truth. And you may think this is little right now, and maybe this isn't the ultimate thing, but we start submitting to one thing after the other, and eventually you'll find yourself submitting to the mark of the beast with some excuse of why you should be able to do it. Some excuse. That's what we do. That's what happens. There's always an excuse. Then shall they deliver you up. I'm going to go to Matthew 24, verse 9 here. and talk about some of the devastating impacts of things like we're seeing today, social distancing and mask wearing. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, I mean, you already see that the anti-mask wearers, they are becoming the people that other people hate because they're endangering other people. It's not like they just hate you necessarily because you say you're a Christian. They hate you when you stand up for biblical truth. Okay, I could go around and say I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but if I do the things that he told me, that if I don't do the things that he told me to do, then the world will still love me. I can still say I'm a Christian. They'll still love me. If I go around and say I'm a Christian and I'll just obey the government and love my neighbor and wear a mask and all that stuff, the world will love me for that. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one of another and shall hate one another. And that's only going to be escalated, that division and hatred, the more we cover our faces and social distance and not gather together. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Okay? Just disobey, submit. It's God's will. And because iniquity shall abound, now this is the verse I came here. Because iniquity, what is iniquity? Lawlessness. Okay? What we're seeing, you know, we got defunding the police going on today. We've got anything and everything. We got rigged elections. We've got all lawlessness everywhere. Okay? And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This was one of the signs that Jesus told us to be looking for in the end days. The people's love will begin to wax cold. I cannot help but feel that when I go into the grocery store or some other store, when I walk around, the love is growing cold there. We're all becoming separated. We're becoming distant. And it's not a good thing. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That verse right there does away with the rapture, obviously. So you're supposed to endure through these things. The world's going to tell us submit. And our job is, no, I submit to Christ. I submit to God, not to man. In fact, there was a scripture in the New Testament where the Roman officials, I believe it was, I can't remember if it was the Roman officials or the Jewish officials, but they were trying to stop the apostles from spreading the gospel. And then they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Okay? We ought to obey God rather than men. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, if we can't go out in public and you can't do all these things, that prohibits the gospel from going forth, okay? If all you can do is use YouTube, Facebook, and Zoom and all those things, well, guess what? They can and they already are shutting down Christian speech and labeling it as hate speech, okay? So you can't count on electronic means to stay connected with everybody. Somebody controls that switch. But if you're out in person, like we're gathering here together, that's why I believe it's important to gather physically with like-minded Christians. They can't stop that, okay? They could shut me down on YouTube right now, cut the feed off, but you guys can still hear the message. And we can still enjoy each other's smiles. All right? Ecclesiastes 8 verse 1. Check this out. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Okay? Now, what does that mean? You know, somebody who knows what's going on, who knows the interpretation of a matter, you can tell because of their countenance. They seem to be sure of themselves. You can see the brain working. You know, when you look at their eyes, you know there's wisdom in there. You know it's not empty darkness in there. There's things moving around in there. You can tell by a man's face. Okay, and And why do I bring that into the study? Well, when we are out in the world, when somebody sees you as a Christian and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the knowledge of God, that reflects from your face. Okay? Now, again, if you're covering your face everywhere you go, they can't see that. Okay? Neither can you as easily discern an evil countenance. Okay? Christians are supposed to be able to, it's one of the benefits we have as a Christian, I can look at somebody's face, many people that are filled with the Spirit, and you can pretty much read their mind as far as character and so forth. I'm not saying that we judge people, but you can do that. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. You can read what's going on in their mind, kind of know their thoughts, and so forth. But when everybody's covering their face, it makes it a little harder to discern. And that could be very dangerous in some situations. Take, for instance, you got your kids at the park, and they're playing, and everybody's wearing masks, and there's some creepy guy over there in the corner. Normally, you'd look at him and say, man, that guy's really creepy. But now it's a lot harder to tell that. And now he can hide from the authorities if he tries to snatch your kid and run off. Okay? Spiritual discernment is very important. All right, in closing, we're going to go to where this all ends up and where I believe this is all leading. Is Pastor Ben saying that if you wear a mask, you've taken the mark of the beast? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it's a preliminary tool that I believe the beast is using to get us in the mindset of submitting, as well as prohibiting us from ministering unto the world. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This, obviously, we're looking at here, it's got crowns on it, kings. We're looking at a one-world political government, as well as religious. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, I cannot help but think about the nation that is the nation of the great red dragon today, where this coronavirus, COVID, the China virus, right? The China virus, it came from China, okay, red China, which is one of the most anti-Christian, anti-God, dehumanizing country on the face of this planet, okay? Their people are like faceless robots over there. I mean, they get so depressed over there. There's a, you know, such an extremely high suicide rate. The workers just jumping out of their buildings to their death because there's nothing to live for anymore. And guess what? What's going on with America and China? China, all this stuff's coming from China. All this stuff is coming from China. So in the end times, do we see the nation of China playing a big role as a power that brings about many of these beastly powers? Maybe. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, I'm going to say this. It's been, you know, ever since Jesus came and, was crucified and the gospel went forth into the world basically got a little bit more Christian throughout time. You know, for about 2,000 years after Christ came, Christians dominated politically the world. Okay, you had Great Britain. Yeah, they had problems, right? Great Britain dominated the world, this great empire. Then later on, America. So basically, the world has been controlled by Christian political powers since Jesus came. But that's all changing right now. Now we're seeing the rise of paganism once again. So we're living in a different era than I think different than anything that's ever been since Jesus came. Instead of going forwards, things are seeming to go backwards. And that could be a sign that the beast is being healed, the beast of world pagan dominance. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And skipping on down to verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. Okay. Now, image of the beast. Image of the beast. Do we know what that is exactly? I don't think we know exactly what that is at this point, but I find it alarming when we're at the same time as all these other political forces and religious forces are moving to bring in this great global reset, that we're hiding the image of God on our faces in submission to these beastly powers. It seems to be the image of God is trying to be erased to make room for the image of the beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Okay. Today, I may refuse to wear a mask at Menards and be rejected service. Tomorrow we reject this and it could or would possibly cost us our lives. We've got to count the cost. Do we obey God or do we obey men? You know, somebody, I'm going to bring this up. Somebody mentioned that I've been kind of resisting posting some Facebook posts here lately, more than I ever have about the mask mandate stuff. And they made a comment that, you know, maybe this isn't the hill that you want to die on. Maybe this isn't worth it. Maybe you just go along with it and you know, pick another battle, so to speak. But something in me that drove me to these scriptures, that drove me to spend an entire hour on this study, made me think about that. Well, maybe this is the hill that I'm not supposed to surrender on. Maybe if I surrender this hill, maybe I won't be able to even get on another hill to fight this battle. Maybe I'll keep sliding down the hill, making excuses of why I need to submit, and that next year things will be better. This year I'll just go along with it. Next year it'll be better. I wouldn't count on that. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, check this out. What does the mark of the beast actually do? You know, there's a lot of debate on, should this be taken spiritually? Should it be taken literally? I'm going to take it purely on a literal basis for this study here, though I believe it has both. They're trying to brand you as a slave. That's what the beast is trying to do. A mark on your forehead or on your hand. That's a mark of a slave, okay? That's a mark of you are submitting, okay? Now, the mask is a form of that. I'm not saying it's the mark of the beast, but right now it definitely is a form of I submit to the narrative. I submit to the political powers that be. I submit to Governor Walz. I submit to Governor so-and-so and so forth. So we're getting dangerously close to this. And what does this do is it affects something physically on your body, right? It's what they want to do. They want to brand you. Verse 17. Now check this out. This is why it even gets more alarming. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now the manager at Menards, what did he tell us? They're not going to check you out if you don't have your mask on. Think about that. So in many cases, in a lot of cases, if I don't wear a mask, I can't buy or sell. Again, am I saying this is the mask is the mark of the beast? And if you wore a mask, you're doomed to hell? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying it's strikingly similar in many ways, and it should be very alarming to us. And every Christian, I believe, should be submitting, or not submitting, should be resisting in one form or the other. Am I saying I'm never going to wear a mask in any circumstance right now? I'm thinking about it. I haven't totally determined it. But right now I'm thinking that I don't want to wear one in any setting at this point. But I'm prayerfully considering this matter and I'm not requiring, trying to say that if I see one of you guys at the store and you're wearing a mask, I'm not fellowshipping with you. You know, I'm not saying that, okay? But I think this is serious, is my point. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for his number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay. In conclusion, just to sum it up, I mean, 2 points. The masks, I believe, cover the image of God, prevent us from ministering in many ways to other people by our countenance, by our smiles. And it's also unhealthy to wear a mask in many ways from a physical standpoint. But ultimately, I do not believe this is a neutral issue at all, because I believe it is all about, and I've said this word many times, causing people to grow cold in their love towards others, dividing everything, making everything miserable and sad, not only economically, but spiritually and personally. But it's about submission. It's all about submission. It's to program you to get used to submitting to the experts, because they know what's best for you. And you know, when the Antichrist gets here, what is he going to do? Why is he worshipped by the world? Because he knows what's best for everybody. And if you don't go along with that, the world's going to think you're a fool, an idiot, a stupid hate monger, some radical weirdo that should be ostracized and even killed for that. With that said, I will take questions and comments at this time. And we do have a microphone for our live audience here, so hopefully everybody will hear them clearly today.
I don't even know where to start.
There's lots of comments that are of people that are making a lot of sense, and just all the things going through my head. It's literally, don't know where to start, because I feel like there's about 18 different angles you could take on this thing. One of which is just the fact that the masks don't work, because if they did work, why are we having second and third phases of it getting worse and worse? And for the most part, everybody is wearing a mask. And so why is it getting worse? And why are we having to continue or doing new shutdowns? That right there tells me masks don't work. Common sense tells you masks don't work, because the only way that would work is if you took one off and threw it away properly and put a new one on every time. Because if you did get COVID on it, now you touch it, put it in your pocket like I do, or put it up in the visor of my truck, and now it's on my fingers, and now everything I touch, I mean, what it is, it's like, it's a way for rulers and leaders to make it seem like they have an answer, and it's all symbolic and just again, for all the things you already said. Because even Dr. Fauci said at the beginning, before they made the mask mandates, he said masks don't work, mm-hmm. at least not the ones that, you know, everybody's using. And then, of course, they changed their mind on that when it seemed like, oh, hey, if we say you got to wear a mask, social distance, and wash your hands, well, look, we have a plan. The science says this, and now we just keep doing it and makes it look like we're doing something. Because the last thing anybody wants to do is be told that they didn't do enough.
Right.
And the truth is that there are states that haven't done any lockdowns, haven't done any mask mandates. And wearing a mask is fine if you want to, especially, you know, if you're elderly. But then the other side is, if you're elderly, you're getting less oxygen in. Elderly are the ones that probably shouldn't be wearing the masks, because there is a lack of oxygen. What do they do when you're, somebody said this, I mean, I can't go through everything that everybody's been saying, but when you're sick and the paramedics show up, the first thing they do is put oxygen on your mm-hmm. face, because that's what you need. Your body needs to be healthy. And I mean, so this is more of a not so much a spiritual things, but just common sense things that prove that masks are a kind of a scam.
Yeah, and if it's a lie, then my point is, if it's a lie and you submit to it and promote it, then you end up virtually becoming a liar.
And maybe a weaker Christian would look at you and see, oh, well, if they're doing it, then it must be right. And so then they're going to follow suit because they may be looking at you thinking.
You need the mic.
Oh, well, you can hear.
Okay.
This might be close enough.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, you know, just to be an example, to stand up for the truth. Because if you, if someone in the community maybe thinks you're pretty well, you know, in your word, and then you are submitting and they see that, then they're going to think, oh, well, then that must be right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they won't have the strength to stand up then.
Mm-hmm.
But are the old people still supposed to social distance or no?
Well, they just should be extra careful, you know, wash their hands and take good care of themselves to not get sick.
Right, yeah. Lucy asks, are the old people supposed to social distance? Well, I would say we basically do the same things that we've always been doing, use common sense. If there's a virus that's like COVID-19 that seems to be affecting only those that are really, really old or have very poor health, then those people need to take measures for themselves, number one, and then we need to be careful around them. But it's, you know, think about this. I mean, even if somebody's in their 80s, okay, is it better for them, and they're a Christian, obviously, is it better for them to be able to be around their family, enjoy the smiles, be around kids, or sit in isolation and hope that they're not going to die? Personally, I would, if I was in my 80s and I had poor health, I'd rather die smiling at my family than die in fear. And that was the other scripture that I mentioned in Revelation. The fearful will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We weren't born to live forever in the flesh, okay? That's why Jesus said, whoever saves his life will lose it, okay? If you put all of what we're doing as a society here, we're putting all, we're buying this narrative that we need to make all these sacrifices in order to save our flesh lives, okay? And it's the opposite. Jesus says, teaches us the opposite. We shouldn't be fearful, and we shouldn't do everything we can to save our flesh bodies. When it comes to the point where you're harming people psychologically and spiritually because of it. Anybody, Damien, you got some more over there?
A
lot of comments?
Yeah.
Just trying to find
it. If somebody...
Somebody did make the comment that on the side of the masks, it says right on there that it doesn't prevent.
I was going to add to Damien's statement there about Fauci. Before saying he didn't need to wear a mask, the Surgeon General said that too. When people are going out and buying masks like crazy, they're saying, hey, he said, hey, look, don't go out and buy masks. You know, it's not going to do you any good. You know, those are only for basically for the medical community. So when you have all these mixed messages coming from government, and again, if you add everything else going on at the same time, it's obviously a big, fat, juicy lie, okay? But again, if somebody as an individual wants to wear a mask for whatever reason, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that that is violating God's commands necessarily. My point is, if you go along with the narrative and you know it's wrong and you submit anyways, then I think that that's getting into a gray area where you're submitting to earthly authority rather than to God's authority.
When somebody said that, well, what's wrong with it? We don't know much about this. Virus, and it's just meant to try to help. And I would argue that we actually know a lot about this virus now, and we know that it's not that deadly. And we know, I was looking for it. Somebody said on here that on one of the official scientific websites, it might have been the CDC, that only 6% of the deaths. Of the whatever we're at now, 300,000 or whatever, were actually just from COVID. Mm-hmm. And we know that they're inflating the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. To what degree? I don't know. We don't know that exactly, but we know they're inflating the numbers. And so we know that it's not that deadly. We know that it it's more deadly with the elderly, and we know that you have about a 99.9% chance of surviving it if you're a typical healthy.
Was it 99.98?
Yeah, and so that's the part that really drives me nuts is they're calling this a pandemic, and we can get through this, and you know, we just need to, we're all in it together, and all this garbage, and it's not a pandemic. And in fact, it's not much different than the flu. I mean, maybe it's a little worse. I don't know. I don't think so. But
well,
the fact that they're doing all this and they're shutting down businesses and their people's livelihoods are being destroyed. Suicide rates are up like crazy. A friend of mine, I just found out last night, killed himself on Christmas Eve. And I got to think that it has a lot to do with, I mean, everybody's mood is down. I mean, you go, I call it the mask, I had a word for it, but you go into stores and people just aren't as happy. Can you imagine wearing a mask for 8 hours a day? And it just it kind of brings about this aggression and sadness and frustration. And like, you know, my kids wearing masks all day at school, and just brings down everybody down, and in more ways than one. I don't know. Like I said, I could go on and on and on, and there's a lot of good points on here. But
I think that's the point. You know, so the Antichrist comes in. He's worshipped because he's bringing happiness back that was lost, right? So it's making everybody, I believe it's all part of making everybody separate, distant, cold, and very, very unhappy, so that when the Antichrist comes, I mean, everybody's ready to have something better, right? This, what we've been doing really sucks. And then the Antichrist comes and he's got this solution, and everybody can be happy somehow. And you can see, not only that, but he's able to perform miracles. So I definitely believe this is all playing into that.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like I said, we could go on forever, but
any other comments worth reading out loud? Just try to include them.
Yeah, I just don't know where to start. Some are kind of funny. I was trying to keep track of some, but now I can't find them.
Anybody else have an opinion on it?
I have an opinion on something a little different.
Okay.
The bombing in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
That everything's political, so it's. But they.
Oh yeah, we got to give them the mic.
This recording was in the RV for 15 minutes. It was telling people get away, evacuate, whatever. So it doesn't seem like it's Muslim or, you know, that type of a situation. And we have relatives there, and you talk to them. 911 is down. The AT&T, anybody with AT&T phones is down. And this has something to do with the machines that count these AT&T buildings. And I mean, I know I'm on a different subject now, but it's all goes together, basically.
Yeah.
This hoax. Every other virus we ever had, or flu epidemic, you know, no one was counting deaths like they do now. Oh, every day Minnesota has 2,000 more positive. Who cares?
I was listening to somebody. It was actually John MacArthur, pretty well-known Bible teacher. He said that the death rate is the same this year as it was last year. And it's just, and you know, they're just, so they're trying to categorize everything as a death due to COVID-19. Well, if the numbers are basically the same, then that tells you that people are pretty much dying of the flu at the same rate, flu or whatever you want to call it, COVID-19, at the same rate than they always have. So that's a pretty alarming statistic when you have the same death rate. Well, the Governor Walz would say, well, that's because we've been doing such a great job social distancing and mask wearing. But
it doesn't seem to be working with the COVID one.
Yeah.
But it is working with the regular flu, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the fraud and the lies that goes in that goes into this, all of the number manipulating, the, you know, fake science, fear mongerings, you know, it's just, if you can't see this as a lie, I could, well, the famous saying goes, I could sell you the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever. I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
The last thing I'll say about it is, I know that it's a bigger picture of a spiritual battle, and that Satan is in charge of this because it's such a perfect storm, and the left is using it in so many ways so perfectly that no man is that wise to be able to put all this stuff together. And the biggest one right now is you take this, what they call a pandemic, which isn't a pandemic, and it forced everybody to not be able to go vote because it's so deadly mm-hmm. in person. So it opened up the mail-in ballots. Well, we know now that the mail-in ballots were so fraudulent, and they were dead people voting, people that aren't citizens, there are people that don't live in the state. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The mail-in ballots opened up a huge place for fraud. It's a fact. It's not even disputed if you really pay attention and look at all the evidence that's out there. So again, it's not letting a good crisis go to waste. And Satan used the pandemic, and maybe it was done on purpose, I don't know, but to get rid of our president, who was bringing our country in the direction of God and godliness and freedom and liberties. And so it just, it's amazing how they can make it all work for their evil.
You're right. You know, it brings me to this. I was listening to this pastor. You know, he's one of those effeminate sounding pastors. So I knew right away, okay, well, he actually started out kind of talking like he was really getting into the Bible. He was reading the scripture. So I'm like, well, maybe he just is a little softer spoken guy. You know, there's some real intellectual guys that don't sound too manly, and that's okay. Not everybody's like that. But, and then sure enough, what did he do? He went on and said, oh, wearing a mask is not the mark of the beast, which I agree, it's not the actual mark of the beast. But he goes, if you want anything close to the mark of the beast, anything that resembles it, start looking at all those red hats you're seeing. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a second here. Red hats, the statement, the slogan, okay? Make America great again. That slogan defies what the Antichrist stands for. The Antichrist stands for globalism, international stuff. And so that's why Trump is hated so much. It's not because, you know, he's such a great, great guy. It's because it's a war between globalism wants to take over the world, right? Nationalism versus globalism. So my point is you can almost tell every false ministry out there today. And there's usually one thing in common. They do not warn about the beast, the Antichrist, and the New World Order. And they totally disconnect it from politics. And that, what does that do? It brings everybody down this blind submission to the point where now you think it's biblical to muzzle your face so you can't spread the light of the gospel. And it goes on and on. And there was another point I was going to bring up, but I can't remember what that was. I'll have to let that one slide. But I just thought that's something that a lot of churches are teaching, I'm sure, at this time. What they do is they say, they always accuse us on the right, biblically, Christians who view the Bible in every aspect of their life, and we don't separate politics from it or personal life. It's all part of one thing. They always say, you're just promoting politics, Pastor Ben. You're using religion for your politics. And I'm thinking, wait a second, these guys always sit there and get on their, you know, their holy roller attitude, you know, trying to say that they're just teaching personal salvation and all this stuff, and they're not teaching politics, but these evil guys like Pastor Ben are teaching politics. But they're spewing left-wing political propaganda week in and week out, disguising it as the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's leftist political propaganda. And that's the big trick they always do, that they always pull on us. They always say, well, they push their leftist political stuff on us, which we know is leftist political stuff is religion of the devil, right? they push that on us, and then they say, don't respond to that because we're not going to get into politics, right? They say, don't respond to that because we're not going to get into politics. So what they do is they get to say what they want to say. They get to promote leftism, which comes from the devil, but they won't let you reply back to their statement. Anybody got anything else?
It's just control. They want control.
I'm gonna pass the mic to them.
Of everything. It's kind of like, in the old times, when the prophets would bow to an angel would appear and then they'd say, get up. I'm no one to bow to. Now we're supposed to bow to the government. I bow to no man. That's the way I feel. And I just think it's the biggest hoax. Ever.
Well, there's another point that a lot of these Romans 13 pastors never talk about. America's was founded totally different than pagan Rome. America was founded as a Christian nation, one nation under God. Has it always lived up to its values? No, but it's found it. So when I apply Romans 13 to a nation that proclaims to be one nation under God, that's not rightly dividing the word of God. That's, like I'm saying, that's akin to what Satan did to Jesus, jump off the temple because it's written that his angels will protect you in every circumstance, right? It's not true. So you can't just take scriptures out of context and apply them how you would like them be. And with this mask stuff, something deep inside of me, which usually if you're biblically minded Christian, if you got something deep inside you uncomfortable, it's usually the Holy Spirit warning you and telling you, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. Okay. Even regular people have that. It's called their conscience when they want to do something sinful. But I knew there was something not right about this mask stuff. And I never really took the time to dig into it other than I just didn't like it. It just bothered me. I'm like, I don't want them telling me what to do because I just didn't want them telling me what to do when I knew it wasn't something that was even helping anything. But I believe that's the Holy Spirit inside of us, helps us discern. I can remember, I'm kind of rambling on, but I can remember when I was a kid in school or a kid sitting in a church listening to the pastor. There was something not right about the teacher and not right about this pastor. I just knew when I was just a young kid, their voice is not gelling with my soul here. There's something wrong. And so I think it's a spiritual discernment. I think you might have locked her out on accident. Anything else before I could just keep rambling on here? Jacob, you got anything you want to say? Nope. Trent, you got anything? No? If you do, we got the mic.
I actually had the corona, but it wasn't I just had a fever, and then I just lost my taste and smell for 2 weeks, and that was about it.
So that just ended yesterday then?
I think at the end of November or something like that, but so it really wasn't that bad at all.
Right.
It was literally just one day, just kind of had a fever, kind of just tired, and then lost my taste and smell for a couple weeks, and I got back.
Right. Yeah.
Because we were going out, we were still going to Walmart and stuff like that, preaching the word to people and stuff. And so, and one thing that sometimes, if they won't let you in to their store, they actually sell these clear, visor things where people can still see your face and everything like that. And so that's kind of like a face shield. That's mm-hmm. kind of like the alternative that we use sometimes if people are, you gotta have a mask or you can't come in here and stuff like that. Sometimes we'll just roll with the face shield and stuff. So
okay.
So because you can breathe in it and stuff too. It's not you're kind of suffocating yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can actually breathe and people can see your face and everything too. So.
Yeah, that's if you're gonna compromise at all on that, I think that would be the way to do it. You're still showing your face. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? All right. We will end it right here. We'll see everybody next week, same time, same place.
Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you would like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He is loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift.